Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with Max's second place finalist, Ashley Chettleborough. Ashley, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm really well. Thank you so much for donating your time to be part of the Challenge Podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you. But mate, look, just a few days ago, you found out that not only you were in the top 10 and the top 3, you got second place in the Max's Challenge. How has the past couple of days been for you?
Yeah, look, I was on cloud 9, obviously. I was really only thinking top 50, I'd be stoked with that. And then, yeah, to get the call up the top 10 and then top 2, I was pretty well blown away. You know, the last few days, whatever, has been really good.
Well, mate, you should be so proud of the result that you've achieved. And, you know, your transformation blew me away. It was absolutely incredible. Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about yourself, maybe where you're from, what you do for work, and, you know, who is Ash?
Yeah, sure. So I live in Albury Wodonga on the border of New South Wales and Victoria. So we're enjoying the border bubble state restriction stuff that we've got going on. So it's a bit of fun at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my role at my job is a programs team leader, and I work for a disability service provider called Aspire Support Services. We develop programs for their day service and provide support to people with disabilities to reach their goals. So this sort of thing, like, you know, you set a goal and you try and reach it, this sort of stuff is I'm pretty keen on. So yeah,
wow,
ties into my job a bit, but just with people with disability instead.
Yeah. Well, mate, talk to me about your role. Is it more of like a desk-based planning role, or is it more of like on your feet actually running at role? Like, what kind of physicality is involved in your position?
Yeah, very sedentary. It's more planning, more administrative. I have a team of staff underneath me that would provide the actual face-to-face support to the people with disabilities. So yeah, it's more around the planning and structuring and all that. So it is definitely sedentary, which makes it tough with keeping itself active and moving. And with COVID and what we're going through, there's a whole lot of work that's being done from home at the moment as well. So that's some challenging stuff that you have to deal with as well.
Yeah, we'll probably touch on that in a little bit. But mate, Ash, from here, I just wanted to talk about, you know, why? Why did you choose to start the challenge? And I guess the first question is, how many challenges have you started with the Max's Challenge?
Yeah, so I've started 4, finished. This is my second one that I've finished. So this is my 4th.
Yep.
My first challenge was back in, I think, 2015, the old Max's Muscle Up Challenge. And I finished the first one. I thought I did okay. Didn't scrape into the top 50 back then. And then I thought I'd try and do a couple of different sorts of programs, and they didn't really fit with me back then. For whatever reason, I felt like it was probably really tough on me to do the Get Strong stuff back then, and I couldn't handle the food. There was a lot of food in that meal plan back then. And yeah, really, I'm not really sure. It was quite a while ago now. I can't really remember why I ended up pulling the pin on those ones part of the way through, but I'm pretty stoked to have gotten through this one.
Yeah, well, let's talk about this May challenge.
So it probably, like, there's a few reasons I decided to start it up, and one of them is around living a healthy lifestyle and trying to set good examples and things like that for my two young boys. So I'm nearing on 40 now, and I felt like I needed to take control of my health for the future so I can run around with the two boys when they're a little bit older. And so that was a big driver for me in doing the challenge and giving it everything I can give it. Mm-hmm. One of the other reasons I started it was because of my wife, actually. She is a massive inspiration to me. And she's completed 5 challenges in the last 3 years. One of those, she finished in the top 50, and she's also had 2 children, one's 4 and one's 10 months old. So I look at that and I just go, you know, that's amazing. And there's no excuse for me not to be able to get up early and train and do this if she can do everything she's done and more, you know. So, yeah, she was a massive inspiration. We were sitting on the couch and she said, oh, I think I'm going to do the May challenge again. I'm like, oh, again, okay, right. And then she said, oh, well, why don't you do a challenge one? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I might. And then, yeah, it went from there. And, yeah, it was good.
That's beautiful. Tell me, what was it like doing it with your partner? And, you know, let's start by talking about the training sides of things. Did you end up exercising together? Did you train together? And, you know, because COVID was mostly in lockdown and you were in lockdown, maybe you didn't have access to a gym. Like, did you train at home together?
Unfortunately, we didn't get to train together. We used to train together years ago, pre-kids.
Yeah.
And that used to be great. But yeah, unfortunately, we played a bit of tag team with that. So I'd be up first thing in the morning before everyone gets out of bed, and I'd get my training in before work and then try and do a bit of tag team so that she could do her training as well. So yeah, we were sort of just working as a team a bit throughout each day, work fitting it in. Okay, today's going to be a rest day, so I'm going to train. Tomorrow's going to be your rest day, so you want to train. So we sort of swapped and changed and worked in tandem a bit.
Yeah, I think that's important, and especially for couples out there, because most of the times, you know, the couples want to get fit together. But sometimes, you know, kids are there and you can't train at the same time. You can't both leave the house to go to the gym, or you can't both be in the gym if you're training at home because, you know, you may have young kids. And sometimes that presents as a barrier to say, oh, well, you know, I'll wait until the kids are old enough. And then you put off till next year. And then you realize you may be reaching 40s or beyond and going, oh, well, I just never had the chance to, because you've created a barrier saying that your kids, you can't do it because of them. And sometimes it really just comes down to having that conversation, right, with your partner and going, hey, like, I want to do this. You want to do this. We want to do this together to be a role model for our kids. How are we going to make it work? Okay, well, how about I look after the kids in the morning, you go train, and then when you come home, you can look after the kids and I'll go train, and making that partnership work. My question is, did it come down to having that conversation, or did it just kind of like work organically on its own?
I think there's a bit of both. We probably mapped it out a little bit. Jess would sort of look at her plan and she would say, okay, well, I've got to train this many days. One of them's a cardio day or whatever it is, but that only takes half an hour, or, you know, and we tried to shuffle it in and map it out a little bit. Sometimes things happen and there's variables that come in, but you just have to try and think on your feet a couple of weeks there. For the most part, yeah, it was mapped out and there was a conversation, and the rest was a bit organic as well.
Mm-hmm. Ash, you've spoken a lot about the training side of things with your partner working in tandem to make the challenge work. You know, what was the nutrition side of things? Mostly because that's a barrier that lots of people, I guess, pose, where a guy, we go, yeah, well, we need to eat more food than a girl. So, well, you know, how are the plans going to work together? Will my partner have to cook a different meal to what I'm going to have? What was it like in your household when you came down to, you know, dinner time? Like, what did you guys do around the meal plans?
Yeah, the meal plan was awesome, to be honest. And I mean, credit to you. The flexibility in the way we could manipulate that meal plan to suit both of us and both eat the same meal, but just varying on those portions was fantastic and so easy to manage as a couple and as a family, really. Mm-hmm. I think the nutrition for me, I find quite easy, as some people don't, but I do. I went dairy-free 2 years ago, found out that I had an intolerance. And so I had to start really training myself to not eat certain things and not crave and give in to cravings because it wasn't good for me. So to then, like, I think over those last couple of years, I've built that, the power, I guess, to say no. Mm-hmm. And so the nutrition side was quite easy for me. I could just say, this is what I'm eating, stick to it. And I could say no to the snacks and things, and it was not a problem. So not everyone's going to have the same experience, but yeah, I found that quite easy.
Yeah.
And as far as the meals, I would alter to my wife. Yeah. Like when I'm at work, she's doing all the meal prep. That's a big nod to her there too.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. You have those resources and that support around you. That's beautiful. Mate, let's talk about some challenges, and maybe we can start by talking about your work life, where you may have found that working full-time, I'm assuming, was quite sedentary. What did you do to try to build up how much physical activity you were doing throughout the day when you would be spending maybe, you know, 8-9 hours in maybe a sedentary role? Did you force yourself to get up and walk around, or did you try to find time to go for a walk after work? Like, what did you do to combat some of those challenges that your work life posed to you?
Yeah, that was actually one of my big challenges, is getting the steps in each day. That was a big one, actually. My role, you get forced into this bubble and you don't get up off your desk for the whole day almost sometimes. And it's one of those ones where you just go from task to task to task and you get phone calls all the time, and it does get you in that zone. And then you all of a sudden look at the time and go, oh, God, you know, like I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I haven't moved, I haven't. But yeah, like I mean, doing the challenge was a good way to set those little reminders in your day where you're, okay, I've got to get up and have my snack at the moment, I've got to get up and have my lunch, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. Mm-hmm. And it really did help start to form those habits. Mm-hmm. Going for walks and things like that was really hard for me, actually. I'm thankful my job, they have flexible work arrangements and things. So I actually work a four-day week, mm-hmm. and I have Fridays off because it was always my Father Sunday. And so I'm really thankful for that. But what it means is I have to do 10-hour days on the 4 days I'm there. So I'm up at 10 to 5 to train, and then I get ready to work and go straight to work. And then as soon as I get home, it's very much straight into nighttime routine, mm-hmm. and not much time for going for a walk, unfortunately. So mm-hmm. thankful again that I've been working from home. I was able to jump on the exercise bike for those few days where I couldn't get those steps in and just do about 15 or 20 minutes just sitting on the exercise bike looking at emails and things. So I was able to work some regular exercise into my day, even though it wasn't leaving the house and going for steps.
Yeah. I've got a question for you, and you might not have been aware before. Did you find that when you were working from home and you had time to fit in like little bouts of exercise, and you know, using that example of checking emails while you're maybe spinning your legs on an exercise bike, did you find that maybe your energy improved, or that you were a little bit more productive at work because you did a little bit of physical activity in between?
Absolutely, yeah. And I actually found I train first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. and some people don't like that. But, you know, some people don't like training when you don't have any food in your belly and things like that. But I really found it was so good. Like I was awake. Well, as soon as I started work, I was awake from working out first thing in the morning, and I had so much energy all the way through the day. It worked in really well for me, actually, and it was a lot more productive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there is some good science and data to support, you know, physical activity, and even down to they would put like scans on your brain, you know, through ECE, sorry, EMGs, and see brain activity before and after a simple walk. And then they had participants, you know, doing like little puzzles after doing a walk, and they found that productivity increased, brain power increased. And it's interesting that, you know, maybe you might not have been aware of it, but you may have found that your productivity increased just by, you know, spinning your legs on an exercise bike. I guess if you're listening to this and you do find, or maybe you are starting to be more aware of your job, how you might be more sedentary than you'd like to be, and that might be because of the environment that you're in, or maybe you don't have a lot of control that we might have right now working from home where we can do things. But you may find that as you increase your physical activity, either before work, after work, or during work, that you become more productive. And then you may find that you don't have to work as long, and maybe your work environment doesn't support that. But maybe you find that you don't have to do as many hours because you're more productive in those hours that you do choose to work. But look, now I guess I want to talk about change. And if you were to jump in your little time machine and go back to maybe 2015, to when you first started the challenge, to where you are now, can you speak a little bit about how your life has changed? And that could be kind of like your day-to-day life, or that could be like your approach to food or your mindset, you know, being able to do something. Like, can you speak a little bit about how your life has changed, Ash?
So, well, over the years, and everyone sort of would be feeling it a bit at the moment, but over the years I've been working pretty hard on building up my resilience and getting my mental health right and things like that. And one of the missing links for me was always exercise. I was always using excuses and not finding the time to do it. And I think that I just, when I dove into this challenge, I'm like, no, I'm just going to make the time. I'm just going to do it. There's going to be time there somewhere, and it just, something's going to have to move for me to do this. And I've felt better than I have ever, probably mentally and physically. So it's been a holistic health journey for me, this one. And my marriage is better. Like, I feel like I'm a better dad. Like, I'm a bit more fun with the boys. Like, I might not be a bit as grumpy as I was. And, you know, some of that stuff is, I think, has been really huge. I'm drinking more water than I probably ever have.
So good. Mate, it sounds like your life has changed a lot over the past couple of years, you know, everything from your physicality, your nutrition, but I think it sounds like the most important side has been your mindset, I guess your approach to, you know, mental health, and, you know, how you're thinking about your prioritizing your health, right? And being that role model to your kids. Yeah. Which is good to hear. And I think that's so important to think about inspiring that younger generation, because you now have a choice where you can either continue on maybe this old path where you were and being that type of role model to your kids, where maybe sitting down all weekend was the norm and ordering pizza and, you know, maybe having a few drinks was the norm. Or now you can choose this other path where you are being fit and healthy. And you can imagine what example you're setting for your kids now, where you're prioritizing fitness and dad's now, you know, going for a walk and being active with us and playing with your kids and spending, you know, father-son time and those sorts of things are now important. And that's awesome to see and to hear, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Ash, from here, I've got a few questions for you, kind of like some speed dating questions. It's going to be fun. So the first question is, what's your favorite exercise?
Oh, favorite exercise overall. I like deadlifts. I was a bit late to the party with deadlifts throughout my years of training, but yeah. When I started doing them, I don't mind them. They're pretty good.
What's your preferred deadlift? Are you a conventional deadlifter or have you dabbled in the sumo deadlift?
I did dabble in the sumo deadlift, but during the challenge, actually, I thought I'd give it a crack and didn't feel good on my knee. I've got some dodgy old footy injuries and that's probably a form thing, me trying something new and I might not have been doing it correctly. So
yeah.
But yeah, I had a crack at that and I decided to go back to the standard ones.
Yeah, I think the sumo deadlift, you need lots of hip flexibility to get your knees out really wide. And if you don't, you do get the knee collapse slightly and it can lead to a little bit of pain if you don't have that hip flexibility. Mate, let's talk about flexing. I know you're leading the way with Flex Friday. What's your favorite muscle to flex?
Oh, everyone loves a bicep, don't they?
A good bicep? Yeah.
I actually like doing the shoulders, getting the shoulders involved in a bit of a flex. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the first time ever I've seen some lines in my shoulder, in my delt, so it's good to show that off.
How are you flexing your shoulders? Are you doing the front, like lifting your traps up, kind of like a most muscular, or are you kind of like old school bodybuilding, like the side chest and getting the delts in there? Like, how are you flexing the shoulders?
I'm a bit partial to the old school side chest. I don't mind that one.
Yeah.
That pose. And I do, most muscular is good, but also throw in the bicep curl with a hand on the hip and get the shoulder flexing as well. Yeah.
So good, mate. Let's talk about cardio. Are you a fan of cardio or do you have a love-hate relationship with it?
Nah, I'm not a big fan of cardio. I used to say there's no point running unless you've got a football in your hand.
So if you had to do cardio, what's your cardio of choice? What's the poison that will get you through?
Bike. I don't mind a bit of cycling and stuff like that occasionally, but yeah, so bike would be my cardio of choice.
All right, let's talk about dinner. What was your go-to dinner on the challenge?
Go-to dinner. My favourite dinner was some spaghetti with your two serves, with the salad and air-fried chips and some salmon with chili and garlic. That was my go-to. It was good.
I like it.
The natural oils and the fats of the salmon make the spaghetti go nice and silky. So, yeah.
I'm going to have to try that. That sounds delicious. All right, let's talk about protein powder. What's your favourite flavour of protein powder?
I'm pretty limited, actually, on what I can get. I'm dairy-free, so plant-based, and they don't have too many flavours in plant-based. So.
Yeah, okay.
So I would have to say I've tried a salted caramel one that's not too bad in a plant-based and a chocolate. Yeah, chocolate. But other than that, there's not many options.
No. When we're talking about dairy, are you sensitive to the lactose in dairy or is it other proteins in dairy?
No, it's actually the cow's milk protein.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So pretty much anything that's in a protein, in a way.
Yeah. Okay. Because I was going to say that when we talk about lactose sensitivity in protein, when we look at like a whey protein concentrate, that's when we have traces of lactose. But if we filter it more and go into like a whey protein isolate or like a peptide, you know, we do see some good results. And I'm an example of that where I struggle to have like the shred system protein. I get a little bit of an upset stomach, but I choose to have the 100% whey because it's whey protein isolate and I feel quite nice after that. Yeah, which led to the question and goes, okay, are you sensitive to lactose or is it other proteins in it? But yeah, it sounds like all dairy is a no-no for you, right?
Pretty close, yeah. The interesting thing is I don't actually feel it in my gut.
Yeah, okay.
For mine, it turned into like allergies and things. So I've always had hay fever pretty bad. I used to get seasonal asthma and some other things like that. And since cutting out the dairy, I get very, very mild, if ever, hay fever. And I've not had any seasonal asthma since. So Yeah.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Hey, let's talk about that. How did you find that out? Was it through trial and error, or did you go out and get, you know, one of those fancy tests done?
Well, give my beautiful wife a bit of a rev up again. Mm-hmm. I was probably not feeling great sometimes, and she would always say, and I would get a cold sore or something like that. And I would say, oh, it's just because I'm stressed at work. You know, it's normal. It happens, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I think you're lacking something. I think your immunity's down. I think this and that. You should go see a naturopath. And I'm like, oh, nah, none of that. Don't need that. I'd always pop it off. So I bit the bullet and went in and did the old naturopath test. And, yeah, come out, she said, this is what it is. And then we found that both our sons have got the same. So pretty much our whole house is dairy-free now.
Yeah.
I was skeptical. Yeah, but I followed it. Like I say, I dive in mentally to stuff like this, and I can commit 100% when it comes to diet. So I dove in 100%, got rid of the dairy, and I've never felt better. Like, it's been amazing, the difference. Yeah. Sleep as well. Oh, I can breathe again.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I think when we look at naturopaths, sometimes the homeopathy side of naturopaths give it a bad rap, right? You kind of hear someone's going to see a naturopath and you think they're going to come home with like some diluted onion water, you know, 1 per million, and that's going to cure their, you know, dermatitis or something like that, which isn't always the case. So some naturopaths go down the homeopathy path, and some are really quite knowledgeable, almost more knowledgeable than me, tenfold in terms of nutrition and tolerances and stuff like that. And it sounds like you found a really great naturopath that guided you down the right path. And it's awesome that you are getting positive results from removing dairy from your diet. Mate, from here, let's talk about some advice. So, you know, if someone looked at your transformation and, you know, wanted to get fit and healthy, or they're about to start the Max's Challenge themselves, what advice would you give them?
Well, the first bit of advice would be, if you've got a goal, like, well, you need to have a goal, and you speak about this quite a bit during your stuff, and, you know, have a goal and commit to it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's 12 weeks and it is a long time, but it's also a short time. Mm-hmm. So commit to that goal. And if you cheat or you don't train one day, don't throw the towel in, don't beat yourself up. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's a new day and you can get back on that bike and you can finish 84 days. So if you miss one, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one other sort of little thing I think with what I found was, don't get disheartened by your end product as well. Your journey's only just started. If you haven't gotten to where you want to be, then, you know, do the next challenge and you might get to where you want to be next time. But I also found it might be a good idea to take photos earlier than the final day.
Yeah.
And then maybe the next day, and then just see how you go. Do it each day. If you feel disheartened, just have another go the next day, and you might find the photo that you look at and go, wow, look at that. That's what I've been looking at every day in the mirror after a session.
Yeah. That's some good advice. I love it so much. Thank you so much. But Ash, I just want to take a moment to thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And, you know, mate, huge congratulations. You've shown us that, you know, you might not be able to get that result in the first time, but if you keep trying, getting back on that horse, you know, you can get an amazing result that you did and you achieved. And, you know, I know that you will continue to inspire so many people to, you know, live a healthy life and to, you know, prioritize their fitness. And for that, mate, I thank you so much and a huge congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.